Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Paulette Young, joined by Selena Lindsay as our guest. Our hot topic today is going to be the leading cause of death for children 1 to 4 years of age is pool drowning. So we're going to talk a little bit in detail on that and give you some statistics. Hi, I'm Selena. How are you?
Fabulous, and how are you?
Good. Tell the people in the audience a little bit about yourself.
Good evening, all. My name is Selena Lindsay, and I am a former CPA for 30 years. Currently, what I do is try to help people that can't help themselves, and to do that, I operate at least 4 or 5 different nonprofits myself. In addition to that, I try to create coalitions and methods of working with other nonprofits to help facilitate what it is they do to help serve people. We'll tell you a little bit more about some of them at the end of the show.
Yes. So today's topic, we're learning that there needs to be more talk on this. So parents, babysitters, and those that have little toddlers in their presence would be 100% more cautious when they have a little one, especially age 1 through 4, that are very unpredictable. You may get together with a group of people and you're talking to your friends just that quick. Once your eyes is off that little toddler, anything goes. The statistics have shown that there's more boys drown in the pool compared to girls. If your toddler is around a pool, who's watching the toddler? Unintentional death happens so quickly when a swimming pool is present. Find out what you must do to protect your toddlers from pool drowning. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. So that's our topic, and we're going to talk a little detail so that you can be aware. I thought we should point out, because I don't think people are going to believe the numbers, but Center of Disease Control said unintentional death, and that I took this from the chart for 2015, and this is 1 through 4 is number one, unintentional drowning, and it's something like 390. That's high. And if you got less than one, that's another topic. You have unintentional suffocation, which is 1,125 little ones. Again, this is all what they're telling us is unintentional, meaning no parent planned for their child to drown or, you know, that to be an issue. But it happens. Now, for little girls between 1 and 4, drowning is the second leading cause of death from unintentional injury. But with the boys, it's number one unintentional death. I don't have a reason why the boys are higher than the girls, but that is what's happening. Just within a second, if someone isn't assigned to that child, or that parent is, you can have all the protection at your own house, but what about if you go to someone else's house? If you don't plan to have your eyes on that little one at all times, that's when the accidents happen. And there needs to be more talk on that, with it being number one. There needs to be more talk on it with the physicians, pediatricians, seeing these parents on a regular basis so that they're alerted. Because I believe if every parent that had a toddler age 1 through 4 understood that it was a leading cause of death, pool drowning, they may do something that any time they're around a pool that they would, you know, be more cautious, like have your eyes on the child. I don't care if you have to have what is those? I forgot what you call those. It's at least, that's some parents use from child to parent. You have to do something because it's not a laughing matter if if it happens to you and your child or grandchild. This stuff is very serious. Okay, go ahead. You can talk, Selena.
Well, I think one of the first statistical things that they need to understand is for a small child, ages 3 to 4, it actually takes somewhere between 20 and 60 seconds for them to drown. The next big statistic is that a small child that's small can only struggle that long in the water.
Mm-hmm.
How quick is that? How fast can you count to 20? And that life is gone. And so that's the importance of how you need to watch it. The other thing, I think, are preventive measures. Number one, if you have a pool and you have small children, remove the toys from the pool. It seems to attract the small child to go out there and get these toys. And those are the kinds of things that get them in trouble. A secondary factor is to make sure safety features are in place. There's some type of alarm sounds when they open that gate if it's not closed off to a small child, or that you have something that alerts you that they've gone back there, that somebody has gone back there. Because the biggest thing that happens is nobody knows anything. Nobody never saw the small child go back there or hang around the pool or just put their feet in it. Children are children, and they have a tendency to discover things. In the United States, apparently, there are over 309,000 public pools. In all of the households, 10,400,000 pools. And so these record numbers bring about record numbers in terms of non-boat-related drowning, and especially with children, small children. And people just think that in the first place, I had a neighbor that was very upset because he wanted to put a pond in his front yard that was only going to be 12 inches deep. And he was just blown away when the city told him he could only have it if he put up a fence to keep the neighbor's children from possibly coming over his yard getting in the pool. And his idea was, the heck with them, they need to stay in their yard. But the laws in city to city are very, very strict for a reason, because it just doesn't take that much water for a small child to drown in. And as you well know, not only do they drown in a pool, some of the biggest disasters happen because a parent leaves their child in a bathtub only for a second. I repeat, it only takes 20 to 60 seconds for a small child to drown. And that's all it takes. If you leave for a few seconds and disaster strikes. There was a gentleman that I actually personally knew, and unfortunately, this gentleman was not in the right frame of mind, had been drinking, and was supposedly giving his daughter a bath, and apparently left to go to his front door and open the door, and he forgot all about his daughter taking a bath. When he came back, she'll never take another one. And these things are also important. That you never leave a child in water or around water that they can get to. Some of these number one rules are really critical, and critical as to why we're starting to see significant and fatal unintentional related deaths to the pool or a sink or a bathtub. And also some of the newer stuff that's come around, like spas, because people tend to think, oh, it has a cover on it. The child is not going to get in it. Children that are ages 3, 4, and up are ingenious. They open it up and they get in it because it's a great place to go play hide and seek.
Right.
And when no one is watching them.
Right.
And this, again, tragedy strikes. Because Nobody usually even opens a spa unless it's a party. But children seem to think this is the best place to go and play and hide. And unfortunately, this is the worst place because once that cover is covered back up, who goes looking for little Johnny or Sally back there?
Mm-hmm.
And known that people were looking for hours, and all the time the poor child was inside of the spa.
Mm-hmm. Also, buckets. You know, when people are washing their floors or the old-fashioned way, you got a bucket of water. You can't keep that water there. That little one will tip mm-hmm. over and drown.
Mm-hmm. And old-fashioned mops and buckets that are the ones with the ringer. Those are other places that children get caught in those things mm-hmm. and end up a tragedy striking again.
Mm-hmm.
Any water that is more than 6 inches can be fatal for a small child. Very, very
because it only takes a teaspoon, less than a teaspoon of water in the airway, and they've drowned. So it doesn't take a lot of
mm-hmm.
water, just a little bit of water.
Mm-hmm. And we can't emphasize any more than just think about it. 20 seconds, it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
20 seconds.
And that's a human tragedy because it could have been avoided. I have one friend years ago, her son was able to open up the back door to the pool. And where did he go? To the water. They're fascinated by that water. And he did drown. She was,
mm-hmm.
He's a success story because she was able to do CPR and help came. And he didn't have any brain damage or anything. But still, that could have been a tragedy. I have another friend, not so good because they didn't have a fence around the pool. The people think they're going to be there. Husband and wife was home, but no one saw the child crawl, go behind the drapes. And where they go? Straight to the water.
Well, I tell you another place that they have been known to drown. The lovely fish tank that you have in your living room. Children find a way to climb up there and play in the fish tank. A child got in playing with feeding the fish potato chips and accidentally slipped off the stool, head first
mm-hmm.
into the tank. And once they're upside down, they cannot get out.
Wow.
And no one heard the child struggling.
Mm.
20 seconds. That's it. And so any place that there is more than, as you said, a couple tablespoons of water standing,
mm-hmm.
really should pay because if you're not paying attention, the child is paying attention, and they have one thing in mind, to go play. And it's a bad, bad place to go and play. And a lot of people have water around and don't realize that all your little pools, your little koi ponds, your little fish tanks, these are not great places for children. And it's a place for adults, and it should be locked. If you have a fish tank, then it should have a top on it that remains locked and never unlocked around small children.
Right.
And I've seen parents that think it's funny for a small child to be enabled to go and feed the fish. And very often these are the same ones that are very sad at their child's funeral because that's what the child is doing, feeding the fish and slip into the tank.
Yeah.
Or they suddenly believe that they can be a fish too.
Yeah, because most people think they're going to be there. They're going to see the child. No,
mm-hmm.
you're not. Within a few seconds,
mm-hmm.
they're gone. My granddaughter, to my surprise, can open all the doors to the house. Before, a month ago, she couldn't do that. Now, I said, how did she come out of that room? She opened the door. My daughter, when she was here, she looked. I said, oh, yeah, I got to put some safety locks on everything because she opens the doors. I said, she surprised me. She did it so quick. She was in my presence, and she was gone. And I looked, and she just smiled at me. They're very smart.
Well, not only are children very smart, your pets are very smart. They do the same thing. I don't know how many times I go out to the lake, and, you know, a person will have their small dog out there without a vest on. And they say, oh, he can swim. And I go, who's going to get him if he drowns? Oh, he's not going to drown. And then you see everybody standing around on the beach or at the lake, and guess what happened? Poor little doggy.
Yeah, it's unthinkable.
The unthinkable. Sad, sad business. And for the same reason. And some of the same reasons that people take their small children boating and take them to the beach. And they don't put floaters on their arms and they don't keep up with them. And here's a great big old beach. And all of a sudden, did you see little Johnny? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, or you have the, not just the swimming drowning, you're going boat riding. Everyone should have those, especially all kids, should have a life jacket. And if the child doesn't want to put on one, I always say, who's the parent, who's the child? Because there was one couple, they were child advocacy, and their little five-year-old told them they didn't want that jacket on. So they let the five-year-old have their way. And this was, Big Bear. On the lake, everybody's having fun. Mom decides, well, she thought the little boy was with Daddy. Daddy thought little boy was with Mommy. And see, that's where there's got to be total communication. And a child has child name or toddler name behind it for a reason. They can't tell you what to do. The child might have survived if he had had that life jacket on. It took him between 2 to 3 hours to find his body because he did go over. And there was no one really watching the child because both parents didn't communicate with each other. And a five-year-old has to be watched and should have that life jacket on, just like that boating accident. I think that was Minnesota. That occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was only a few survivors. One lady lost her whole family, husband, all three kids. And the one thing they didn't have on is life jacket. And the reason they didn't is because the captain of that ship told them they didn't need it. Shouldn't have listened to that captain, because you might have had some more lives saved if that life jacket had been on. But they didn't have them on. By the time they were told to put it on, it was too late. Just too late. That boat,
because they had individuals that said they had asked the captain about those life jackets, and he pointed to where they were. They're different than I am, because the best person for where they are is on me when I'm in the water.
Right. But they listen. And the other thing I think that occurred in that situation, the weather was bad. They weren't supposed to be out there in the first place. So you had a captain that really was not a captain of the ship at all. That's something that could have been avoided. He died too, but still, that's something that could have been avoided. That many deaths could have been avoided. So it's called protect yourself. Do what's right, and you can drown. Even if you're a swimmer, you can drown in certain situations. But I know our topic here is the children. There needs to be more public information given on a regular basis, like in those doctor's office, different. Even at the hospital, it should be listed up on a wall, number one cause of death in this age group. There need to be more awareness. I believe if there was more awareness, we may can bring some of the numbers down. But when there's not, you worry about other things like get your vaccine, but nobody worries about the children drowning. And when since it's listed as the number one cause of unintentional death, there needs to be posters hanging up in those hospitals and doctor's office so that parents become more aware of the high risk So when they're visiting someone with a pool, the high risk that's involved, it just need to be. Cause so I don't see any other way to bring the numbers down because we take a lot of things for granted that we shouldn't.
Well, I also think there needs to be a law that where there is a swimming pool, just like you have a dog, there should be something on the front gate that says, beware of pool.
Mm-hmm.
Because all too often when you go and visit someone's house, you're unaware of what's in their backyard.
Yeah, that can be very
and very often. Yeah, you know, who really goes to somebody's house and get inventory about what's in the backyard?
Yeah.
You know, so you're totally unaware of what's there. You know, you're child is running around and you ask, where's the kid? Out by the pool. Really?
It just needs to be more awareness how quick these kids are. Because when I have my granddaughter over here, she's very quick. I'm always saying, where is she? Where did she go now? I want to sometimes just put her on a leash so I can stop asking, where is she? Because they're, you know, when they're toddlers, they're, as you know, because you have toddlers too, they're busy. They're, you can tell them to sit in one place. They ain't going to. There's something that's
well,
going to attack them.
I'm almost a believer is the worse handicaps that they have, the more prone they are to getting into things. I have two grandchildren
mm-hmm.
that are supposedly legally blind. And
mm-hmm.
My grandson decided that he would put a pillow on the heater. And it promptly began to smoke and catch fire. And he thought that was very funny.
Wow.
And mom
They're
was
quick.
In the bathroom. They're very quick.
They're very quick.
And they just do
and
the most.
The toilet. We didn't say anything about that toilet. They have a latch where you can keep the toilet sealed, so they don't. Because they will go in that toilet,
mm-hmm.
and you can drown in that toilet. As nasty as that toilet is, it ain't nasty to them.
It's fun.
That's why they have a child safety thing for the toilet. Because they don't see it as nasty. They just see the water and something to play in. Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
For those that are just joining
yeah.
and just listening because you don't want to talk, that's fine. But anybody else, if you want to want us to hear you, when you call the 858-769-4936, you must press 1, and then you'll be on the air all around the world. And tonight's topic's been leading cause of death for children 1 to 4 years of age. It's pool drowning, and there should be more awareness in hospitals, in doctor's office. Your neighbors need to be aware, and as Selena mentioned, maybe even post something on the gate, there's a pool here. So that anybody entering that gate will, you know, think twice about watching their child. Some people even hire lifeguards when they have pool parties for the children. I went to one of those, and I remember the lifeguard wouldn't talk to anyone, just kept his eyes on the children. And if he saw something that's not right, he quickly jump out of his chair and went to correct it before there would be an accident. And I think that's what has to be done. Unless someone's assigned to watch the kids in the water, everyone thinks someone's watching. And that's not what's happening. What happens is you end up with your pool drowning because no one's watching. Somebody has to be assigned, even if you have to do it in shift. I remember years ago, there was, I think, something like they had found 30 kids in the water in a swimming pool at a party. One of the children was down all the way up under. Nobody knew the child had drowned. It was down there. Body hadn't floated to the top. Somebody went, well, where is he? He was there all right, but in the bottom of the pool. And that's, those are called unintentional deaths. Shouldn't have happened. Unless you use the prevention, anything from a fence around the pool. Some people aren't in favor of putting a cover because sometimes kids have pulled that cover back if someone hadn't locked it properly. And then the child's already climbed up under. As you have mentioned, plain hide.
It's expensive to see the life.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the cost of a life?
Can't bring it back.
Yeah.
And some parents do live with lots of regret. What could I have done different? I don't know. Having a pool is not a luxury. It's a job. You got to constantly, if you have small children, make sure all safety things are in order and check it. Is the gate latched? You know, have the fire department come out and see if you've done everything properly that can, you know, prevent a life. I know in one situation, the child did drown, but how did they get out of the house? Because there was a screen that the child had grown tall enough to reach and unlatch everything and go straight to the pool. I remember the fire department told the person they needed to move that latch all the way up. So a child can't reach it, at least not a four-year-old. And it happens so fast. So, again, we're bringing public awareness to drowning. So many have already died this summer, and some more will drown. We hadn't even talked about the beach. That's another area. Some beaches, the shoreline itself, it's unstable. And so you have to be aware of that. There may be a sign. It may not be a sign. The bottom line is you have to be there with the child. If you have to put that kid on a leash, put him on a leash. I don't know. Whatever it takes to keep them alive, I think that's what needs to be done. No, they're not an animal. They're a person, but they're also a hazard to themselves. Because of what their capability are. No different than the small toddler that puts something up next to the table to climb up so they can get on top of the table. My granddaughter, I didn't know she can put herself in the chair on her own. I go into the kitchen, I come back, she's sitting at the table. I said, how did she get up there? You know, sitting in the chair, waiting for you to serve her. And, you know, I'm like the panicky one because she can fall from that chair. But she taught herself. And she did it so quick. And as they continue to grow fast, that's just, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, takes place with them. And meaning you have to have your eyes on them at all times. I believe take whatever room you're in, you better take that challenge, especially at this crazy stage. The 1 to 4 it requires a lot of work on all of our parts. That's why they're called toddlers or infants or small children. They have those names because they are a hazard. So you want to help them. Okay, if anyone's listening, you've been on Blog Talk Radio, American Health Crisis. I'm your host, Paulette Young, that you've been listening to, and along with our guest, Selena Lindsay. And what we're going to do now, we've been talking about the leading cause of death for children 1 to 4 years of age, and that it is pool drowning. Yet we've also mentioned the swimming pool, the toilet, pails, any place where there's a body of water is a hazard for small kids. But when something's number one, cause of unintentional death, then that's a problem. Now, you do have the deaths due to congenital defects and stuff like that, but a lot of this is coming from not the congenital, but through unintentional accidents because they're around the water, and the person may think they'll see everything. No, you're not. They're very fast. Anybody that's been around that age group know how fast they are. So we'll be on the air again shortly, but right now what we're going to do is Selena comes with a wealth of information. So get your pen or a pencil and a piece of paper, and you'll be able to jot down some of this information either for yourself or you may know someone that needs some of the services that she's a part of. Okay, go ahead, Selena.
Okay. This what we're going to talk about is called Bright Prospect. The prospect is located at 1460 Hope, suite number 74 in Corona. The phone number over there is area code 909-623-9007. Again, the name of this office is Bright Prospect. And primarily what they do there is they help low-income students to get to college. And you can also go through their website, which is Bright Prospect. It's www.brightprospect.org, all one word. The next nonprofit we'd like to talk about would be called Helping Hands Caring Heart Ministry. They are also located at Pomona. I don't really have a physical address, but they do feed the homeless. And the phone number there is area code 909-730-5313. The next organization that we'd like to talk about that is out there really trying to help people is called Camp Corral. Camp Corral is a free summer camp for military children with priority giving to wounded, disabled, or a fallen military family. You can take a look at what Camp Corral is doing by going to www.campcorral.org or please give them a phone call at area code 855-605-1267. A really, really neat outfit, and we really appreciate what they're doing, because all too often people forget that those that go out and fight for our country, they leave behind their children and their wives, and very often, you know, they need a little help. They have need tending to so that they fit back in with society with all of the rest of us. One of the others that I'd like to talk about is a outfit in which I am one of the directors. It's called Sowing Seeds for Life. Sowing Seeds for Life is located at 1350 L Highway. Sowing Seeds for Life is a food bank, and currently we are the second largest food bank in Southern California. If you're in the area and you'd like to come down to volunteer or help help us with serving individuals, which that happens on the first and the third Wednesday of every month, please go to the website and call the number that's there. Again, that website is www.sowingseedsforlife.org, and that is all one word. Another nonprofit that's out there really, really helping, and they're also really working on one of Paulette's pet peeves, which is called One. One.org, their primary purpose is to stop the spread of HIV. And their intention to do that is with advocacy and understanding and through disciplinary actions. And they're currently along the scientific route of being able to help a child before it's even born in the type of research and education that they are doing globally. Another outfit we'd like to talk about, and also, too, you can go and see what these guys are doing by just going to one.org, O-N-E, period, O-R-G. Another outfit we'd like you to take a look at
would be called Your Life, Your Voice .org. What they try to do is to encourage behavioral problems and help people understand some of the things that are possibly going wrong with them in their minds and what have you. And you can go to the site and you can view some of the recommendations and the things that they'd like to help you do them. There is also a great outfit in San Bernardino called Santa Inc. Santa Inc. And for those of you that may need help during Christmas time, and they not only help during Christmas time, they're always helping in the community. They're located at 824 6th Street in San Bernardino. And the phone number there is 909-885-0090. At the end of the show, I always have my own personal opinion, and it sort of goes like this. I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I am an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable. I'm aware of that. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I work very hard to be. I take risks and I use myself. I tell my stories and experiences. I share my weaknesses and my mistakes. I use me as the guinea pig. My basic belief is very simple. That belief is to help those that cannot help themselves. I am Selena A. Lindsay. I thank you for listening to our broadcast, and I look forward to having you with us again in the next broadcast on Monday night at 8 p.m. God bless. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay, thank you, Selena. All right, bye-bye.